Open our hearts and our minds, Lord, to receive your word for us this morning. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Do have a seat. I wonder who or what you think of when you hear the word saint. Maybe you think of those great heroes of faith from the dim and distant past, men and women who perhaps performed miracles, made great sacrifices, or took a stand against the powers that be, and usually came to a sticky end. Maybe you think of those depicted in stained glass windows of many churches. In my last church, which was called St. Peter's, the east window, so the one that was at that end of the church, included saints representing faith, hope, and love. And I was trying to remember which ones were which. I think St. Peter himself represented faith. St. Mary, love. And then hope was represented by Sir Galahad. I always found it rather disappointing that they'd chosen a fictional character and couldn't think of a real person to represent that attribute. Wouldn't it have been amazing, though, rather than fill it with someone from a story, that they'd left it blank, maybe, and we could have had a rotation of pictures of the congregation put there, or even a mirror that people could look in and see themselves? I don't know how you'd have felt about that, how you would have liked to have your picture up there, or have your picture up in a Saints of St. Mary's window here. Maybe that makes you feel a bit uncomfortable. You don't consider yourself perhaps worthy. You don't think of yourself as very saintly. You might like to have a look at the picture after the service above the toilet and office door that depicts Market Drayton with a lot of people in it, a lot of ordinary, everyday people. And they are the saints. In his letter, Paul frequently uses the word saint simply to describe those who have put their hope in Jesus Christ, ordinary, everyday people like you and me, like all the people depicted in that picture, with all our weaknesses and faults and failures. Today, as we celebrate All Saints Sunday, yes, we lift our eyes to the great company of believers, past and present, who've lived their lives in faith and hope, and we give thanks for all those who've gone before us. But we also remember that we too are part of that same family. We are God's saints on earth, ordinary, everyday people like you and me. How does Paul then describe a saint? How would he define a saint? Well, we get quite a good description in that letter that he sends to the early Christians in Ephesus. He writes, "In him," that's Christ, "we were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything according to his will." Saints have been chosen. But Paul isn't saying that some people are in and some people are out, that God's got this pre-selected list of those that he's chosen. In the context of this letter, Paul is trying to explain to those Christians in Ephesus who come from a Greek background that God has indeed chosen them just as much as he's chosen those from a Jewish background. They are not second-class citizens. They are not an afterthought. He goes on to describe the mystery that is that this was God's plan all along. They are chosen. And before they ever turned towards God, God had already turned towards them. And so being a saint is not about coming from a certain type of background or being special in some way or being very, very, very good. It's about being chosen simply through God's grace, his gift. God chose you. God called you. And God said, you are mine. I had a friend when I was a teenager in our youth group at church who desperately, I think, wanted to be a Christian. But she would always say she didn't feel good enough. And we know that, that's kind of the wrong way round, isn't it? We know we're not good enough. The heart of sainthood is not perfection, but belonging. We're saints because God has claimed us and called us his own. We're not perfect, but he is. When we go searching for God, it's often because he has already been on our case. He's already been nudging us, urging us, creating that hunger, that yearning for something that the world hasn't been able to provide. Nothing that will fill that sort of God-shaped hole. But when he does nudge us and draw us, we need to respond. And so Paul sees those who are saints as being those who have responded and put their hope in Christ. He tells the Ephesians they were included in Christ when they heard the message of truth, the gospel of salvation. But in true Hebrew fashion, for Paul, hearing isn't a passive exercise. It involves a response. You indicated, you showed, you demonstrated, you proved that you had indeed heard something by then doing something. They had believed that message of salvation and they had responded to it. We might have heard lots and lots and lots about the Christian faith. We might have been coming to church for years, but there comes a point where we need to decide if we are going to put our trust in this Jesus that we've heard about. Are we going to take him at his word, the one who claimed to be the way, the truth, and the life, our living bread, the one true light of the world? Those are big claims. Are we going to put our hope and our trust in his promises? And if the answer is yes, then Paul would say the next step in being a saint is for us to be for the praise of his glory. I think, in other words, he's just saying our lives are now lived for him, for his glory and not ours. That's what saints do. Their lives point to God. They live not for recognition or reward for themselves, but so that God's love might shine through them. And that's our calling too. To be a saint is simply to let our lives be shaped by Christ's love, to live with hope, humility, mercy, compassion, to let the Holy Spirit work within us. It's about letting go of our own agendas, holding our own plans lightly, putting him first, and quite often being willing to swim against the current of this world sometimes. And instead, letting our lives, say, in 100 different ordinary and everyday ways, to God be the glory. And then Paul reassures them that as those who have responded and put their hope in Christ, that as his saints, they were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit. And in the ancient world, and probably still today, you know, a seal is a mark of ownership, a sign that something is genuine and guaranteed. So when Paul says we're sealed by the Spirit, he's saying that we belong to God, heart, mind, and soul. And saints are people who live out that truth. I am God's. Their lives are shaped by that belonging. They live not for themselves, but for the one who called them. But the seal of the Holy Spirit also demonstrates that God's promises, our inheritance, are real, are genuine, are guaranteed. And that inheritance is crucial because it's what we need to help us keep going as saints. When we've responded to God's call, when we've put our hope in Christ, it can be really hard to keep trying to live for his praise and glory in a world that often doesn't recognize or acknowledge Jesus, or when life gets tough and our faith is really tested. It's really hard to live in the way that Jesus calls us to live when he asks us to love our enemies, to do good to those who hate us, bless those who curse us, and pray for those who mistreat us. But my goodness, in this country we have it so easy, don't we? If we have it hard sometimes, you know, spare a thought for our brothers and sisters in Christ around the world. But to be a saint is to know that despite all that, that we have hope in something far greater, something and someone far more powerful. It is knowing that we belong to the God who has resurrecting power at his fingertips. It's knowing that we have hope in the Christ who's far above all other authority, power, and dominion, not only now, but in the age to come. And it's knowing that our inheritance lies in that age to come when all things will be made new. Knowing that that is all sealed, rubber stamped, guaranteed, can give us a very different perspective on the struggles of the here and now, and the strength to persevere. The saints are those who live with that hope, even when life is hard, even when they hunger or weep or face persecution. They hold fast to that promise that their inheritance, their reward, is in heaven. And that hope gives them, and it can give us, courage. It can allow us to face pain without giving in to despair, to be able to meet suffering with faith, and to keep loving when love is sometimes very costly. That's the hallmark of a saint. Not that life is easy, but that hope is alive. And Paul finishes with another important hallmark of a saint. We're part of a team, a family, a body, Christ's body. It means we're not in this alone. It means that together we're those through whom Jesus continues his work in the world. That's what saints are, Christ's hands and feet, Christ's heart and voice. Through our lives, people experience the fullness of Christ. That was a phrase that Paul uses, which is sort of a strange thing to get our heads around, isn't it? But I think it means that we kind of fill in the blanks for people, and his presence is made visible for them. We can probably all think of someone who helped us, who helped to bring us along that journey to responding to God's call in our own lives and putting our hope in Christ. Those people are our saints, aren't they? Their lives made Jesus more real and visible for us. And we're called to do the same, each of us in our own way, just ordinary, everyday people. We'll probably never see our faces in stained glass, but that's okay. It's probably a good thing. We're just called to keep putting our hope in Jesus day by day by day, to keep trying with one another's help and with the Spirit's help to live to that praise of his glory in every part of our ordinary and everyday lives, and to keep that perspective of a glorious inheritance kind of always before us, whatever comes our way. And when we do that, we are truly God's saints. Amen.